Last month, the Supreme Court decided that aggregate campaign finance limits are not constitutional on grounds of free speech. That was a case of McCutcheon versus the Federal Election Commission.
In the wake of that decision, donors can donate as much as they like in any given election cycle overall. However, there are still restrictions on how much donors can give to one specific candidate.
That decision was made on the federal level, but Wisconsin state-specific campaign finance limits still stood. Yesterday, Wisconsin election officials acknowledged that in light of the McCutcheon decision last month, Wisconsin's limits can't be upheld. Here with us to talk about what this could mean for Wisconsin politics is Ken Mayer. He's a professor of political science at UW-Madison and an expert on campaign finance. Ken, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Well, so how inevitable was this moment once the Supreme Court ruled against overall campaign donation limits last month?
It was inevitable because Wisconsin has to abide by the national constitutional rulings. And once the court issued that decision in McCutcheon, it was just a matter of when officials here would acknowledge that the state limits, the aggregate limits, are similarly unconstitutional.
So was it a matter of election officials acknowledging that they had to follow these limits, or was it something that had to be brought via the court?
Well, the acknowledgement took place in the context of a lawsuit that had been filed last year by someone who had challenged the state aggregate limits. And what the GAB officials did yesterday was acknowledge in court that they would no longer be able to uphold or enforce those limits. So it was kind of an odd process in the sense that it wasn't the legislature, it wasn't a formal rulemaking process. It was just an acknowledgement that the state of the world had changed and they couldn't enforce them anymore.
Now, Wisconsin isn't the only state that had these limits. There are others out there. What are we seeing elsewhere in the nation about what's happening in the light of this ruling?
They'll fall everywhere. Now that we have this constitutional ruling from the Supreme Court, there is no state that will be able to enforce these aggregate limits. Now, there are also some states that don't have aggregate limits or that have much looser regulations. They won't be affected.
Now, Fred Young Jr. was the one involved in this case that we're talking about, and it hasn't been settled yet. But can you talk about what that case was and what's at stake there specifically?
Well, as I understand it, it was similar to what McCutcheon was arguing at the federal level. It was a lawsuit that was alleging that the aggregate caps, which in Wisconsin were actually much stricter than at the federal level. There was a $10,000 limit here as opposed to what amounted to about a $45,000 limit to federal candidates from individuals. So it was parallel litigation, and it was just a matter of time once the McCutcheon decision came down.
Now, Fred Young Jr. has said he sees a more educated, a more engaged electorate coming from this decision. What do opponents see?
Well, if you talk to campaign reform groups like the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, they see this as just another way for wealthy people to have disproportionate influence in elections. And so you balance the individual right to be able to contribute. There's a First Amendment right at stake there versus a general concern about the nature of influence and corruption. Now, where it gets a little difficult is that the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, has consistently held that influence, or a concern that certain groups or certain people will have too much influence, is not a consideration. That the only justification for these kinds of limits is preventing, as they put it, corruption or the appearance of corruption. And so when you think about it in terms of certain groups having more or less influence, there are arguments that you can make about the consequences, but as far as the Supreme Court is concerned, those don't carry any weight.
How do you see this affecting donations to specific parties, aka the Republican Party, the Democratic Party, or political action committees?
Well, what's going to happen is you will see a relatively small number of people make more individual contributions to candidates. And it's worth stressing that those contribution limits, which are $500 for state assembly, $1,000 for a Senate state senator, and up to $10,000 for statewide candidates, those contribution limits remain in force. But now an individual will be free to give as many of those contributions to as many different candidates as they like.
And do you see that as being something that's going to affect a large proportion of candidates, for example, or is it going to be relatively small group of people we're talking about?
Oh, it certainly will be a small number of people who make the contributions. I actually don't think it's going to have a dramatic effect on candidates or elections here, because there are already so many ways for groups and political parties and other types of associations to spend what amounted to unlimited amounts of money on independent expenditures. And those gates have been opened through previous Supreme Court decisions. And so, if anything, it's possible to think about a positive effect of this is that there will be presumably more money coming into candidates where there's better disclosure, better ability to track those contributions. But the overall, if this has any effect, it will continue to increase the amount of money that is given to candidates.
Now, some critics here in Wisconsin have said that this could amount to money laundering, that you hit your limit for a particular candidate and then you give to a group and then they just funnel it back toward that candidate. Do you see that happening?
Well, there will probably be some things that look like that. Wisconsin law parallels fairly closely with the federal law in that regard, that you are not allowed to give money to a political committee or a political action committee with the expectation or understanding that they will turn around and give that money to an individual candidate. Now, the concern among campaign finance reform groups is that it's possible to communicate that or have that kind of understanding without anything being explicit. We'll see. I think there will be some concern about those sorts of things happening. But again, in many ways, this horse has already left the barn, that you can give $10,000 to Scott Walker or to Mary Burke and turn around and give an unlimited amount of money, millions of dollars, to a group, an outside group that is making independent expenditures on that election.
Do you think limits will remain on how much can be given to individual candidates here in Wisconsin?
Well, that's the big concern, that it's one of the last bulwarks of the original campaign finance regulation that extends back to the 1970s. So far, there are no indications that the Supreme Court is ready to explicitly consider that. But there are some indications, if you parse the language of McCutcheon carefully, there are some indications that they might be willing to entertain that, because if you consider the problem as one of solely corruption, the court seems to be open to an argument that a $2,000 or $2,500 or $2,600 contribution, if that's not corrupting, then why not $3,000 or $4,000 and $5,000? One thing that I think is very likely is that we will see somebody mount a challenge to that aspect of the law fairly soon. And whether or not it gets to the Supreme Court and is successful is obviously a different question. But I think we will see that coming down the pike at some point.
And what will this change mean, do you think, for the issue of transparency in political spending here in Wisconsin?
Well, there are already plenty of opportunities for people to obscure where the money is coming from. There are already lots of issues about groups that organize as tax-exempt groups, 501c3s and c4s, and their disclosure is different than it is for committees that are explicitly engaging in election express advocacy, independent expenditures. It's going to continue to be difficult. I think what will happen is we will see somewhat more money coming into candidates, but I really don't think it's going to diminish the amount that's going into these outside independent groups, in part because if you do that, it's somewhat easier to obscure where the money is ultimately coming from.
So how soon do you expect this to be in effect, the caps to be off in Wisconsin?
I would suspect that they'll be not enforced effective immediately, although it may be some time before it officially comes down as a formal rule. But I would imagine that as far as the GAB is concerned, that they are no longer in effect as of now.
As of now. All right, Ken, thank you so much for joining us.
Good to be here.
We've been talking to Ken Mayer, political science professor at UW-Madison and an expert on campaign finance reform. Yesterday, Wisconsin election officials acknowledged that the state's aggregate campaign donations couldn't be upheld in light of the Supreme Court's decision along the same lines last month.